Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second of the Queer History Interviews, where we interview queer creators in the community and discuss the work they've been doing. This month, we're connecting with 365 Days of Lesbians, run by AK Aphorez, Lexi Kovalesan, Liz, and Lex Lee. 365 Days of Lesbians was created out of a desire to create a quote-unquote theme.
Okay, I guess for the purpose of this interview, it'd be better if I just go by AK.
By addressing an individual woman-loving woman every day of the year, 365 Days intends to bring women-loving women as a group out of the margins of history and into the light where they deserve to be. The women 365 Days addresses come from ancient, contemporary, or modern history. They've covered a large swath already, ranging from Angela Robinson to Vivica Bandler to Anna Blauman. As of February 17, 2017, there are 47 biographies of Women Loving Women on the 365 Days blog. We encourage you to go check them out and give 365 Days a follow so you can learn about a new Women Loving Woman every day of 2017. Today, Queer History is sharing with you an interview between myself and AK Aphorez discussing the work and motivation behind 365 Days. Sit back, relax, and enjoy! Well, if you'd like to start out with the blurbs about your team, that would be lovely. So, for example, could you tell us who is on your team?
Okay, so there's four of us. So, myself, Liz, Lex, and Lexi. So, Liz and I are French, originally. And Lex and Lexi are from the U.S. We haven't met all four of us officially yet, but we are connected by the wondrous powers of the internet. I mean, we all come from pretty various backgrounds. Some of us are still in college. Some of us are grad students. Some of us are working. Some of us are not. We're basically a bunch of like racially diverse teammates. We do have different gender identities. We identify as different things, you know, on the lesbian, women-loving women spectrum. It's, you know, it's all in there, different labels and so on. But yeah, we're all united by one thing. It's the love of lesbian history and queer history and wanting to make that a thing in mainstream history.
It seems like this project kicked off in 2017. Were you or any of your fellows doing anything in the community prior to that?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I guess some of us have actually, you know, come out very recently, so it's not like a lot of us have like a very long experience in within the queer community or anything. Some of us do. This was more a thing of like we've all had contact with the queer community. We were all interested in queer history, whether we had learned about queer history in class during, like, I don't know, like a women's and gender studies class or something, or in a more informal setting. Some of us have gone, you know, to Pride. Some of us have been involved in their local LGBT community center or something. But this, I think for all of us, this is like the first type of project where we're actually getting involved directly with something of our own making.
It mentioned that you really wanted to focus on the history of women loving women, but what kind of brought you to this point where you decided to do a pretty in-depth biography of one woman every day for the whole of 2017?
The funny story behind that was, at first was it a joke with friends where we're like, oh, you know, the lesbian agenda, like, no one ever tells me about stuff. Like, I want to be in on this lesbian agenda. You know, every day you have a new fact about something. It's it follows a theme or it doesn't. And we're like, how cool would it be to have that, but for lesbians? And so that was like the fun premise. But the more serious premise was that, so obviously, I mean, we've all had history classes. And I know that, like, on the team, we all thought they were pretty boring because, you know, we couldn't really relate to them, and it's such a dominant view of history that's being taught that we couldn't relate to them. And I was thinking about how even within the circle of like LGBT history, I sometimes could not relate to it because there were not enough women in there. The problem is, even within LGBT circles, the voices of LGBT folks of color and of LGBT women are often still marginalized or dismissed or just forgotten completely. I mean, it's not, the focus has often been on male homosexuality and not on female homosexuality or bisexuality. Or so I guess that's also what we wanted to do, was like say, you know, it would be great to have, you know, a kind of similar blog for, you know, like the male counterpart of this blog. I'm sure it already exists in some capacity. But we just really wanted to focus on people who we could relate to and have, you know, have a blog where we thought that, like, you know, other women, especially young women who are starting to explore their identity, and they're like, you know, I may not be completely straight, or I may not be cisgender, I mean, and they have a blog where they can, like, see that so many other women have thought about this before and have had similar experiences, and so they, like, just, like, read this and, you know, bask in this female-centric kind of space. So, yeah, that's what we wanted to do, and I guess, like, just, we wanted to have, you know, one, at least one person a day to show how, just how deep it goes. Like, this is not, we're not talking about, like, four or five women in history. We're talking about a lot, like, a tremendous lot. We know that we have a lot of, like, women from the U.S., but that's because, I mean, it's also a matter of logistics, because that's where most of our archives are. I mean, that's where we find most easily stuff about female LGBT history. So, but we are definitely trying to make sure that we cover other places in the world, other cultures. This month, you know, with the Black History Month in the U.S., we're trying to make sure, like, to just for us to read as many books as Black lesbians as we can find, and to make sure to put the spotlight on Black women-loving women. And, I mean, for example, I'm also part Algerian, so for me it's going to be interesting to start exploring queerness, in female queerness in Algeria and the Algerian culture.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. I know queer history has had the same problem of sometimes we will look at the articles or the podcasts and be like, we've done about five people from America in a row, and we should probably, like, focus on somewhere else. So that does, on one hand, it's great that there's such a breadth of information about American queerness, but on the other hand, it's just like, need to make sure it's not always just American-centric.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also a matter of readership, obviously. It's because, I mean, if most of your readers are from the U.S. to start with, then, you know, there is going to be a tendency to focus on people from the U.S. But we're having a very diverse readership, I get a feeling, so we want to reflect that as well. So that, you know, people reading in from France or Brazil or wherever in the world can actually, you know, read this and have role models that are both, you know, in the U.S. but also a little closer home. And, I mean, yeah, the internet is a really great place for that. I mean, it's really teaching us how to both dive into the archives and find as much stuff as we can, and also take a step back and then think about how we can connect this on, like, a more transnational level, you know, not just, like, keep doing the isolationist thing where it's just the U.S.
Yeah, makes sense. And I know it's always really worth it to focus outside of the United States. How do you tend to decide who writes what biography a day? Do you have a schedule? How does that work?
Yeah, we basically have a timeline where we, for every day, it's like a little table thing where we have, like, every day, and then for every day we just, everyone has access to that document. We just put in the names or of the people or the events that we want to, that are related to these, to this day. So for, I mean, it's usually birthdays, you know, it's like, oh, so and so was born or died on this day, or this happened on this day. And then people, I mean, it's pretty flexible and easy. We just sign up for whatever we want to write about. And usually if nothing is, no one has signed up for something, then I just write the corresponding article. So that's how we do it. It's pretty easygoing. Because we really want to make sure that we're writing about stuff that we love writing about. So yeah, for example, I mean, Liz has always loved Virginia Woolf, so obviously she was going to be the one writing about her. Lexi, you know, she recently did this really great article about the miseducation of Cameron Post, the review of the book, and was a book that was really important to her, so she decided to go ahead and write the review for this book. And same thing for Lex. I mean, for example, loved Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so there we go, article about her. We want to make sure that we're both given the opportunity to discover new figures we had never heard about, and to also write about people whom we love and whom we admire. And obviously, I mean, there's just four of us, so it's a lot of work. So, I mean, if people want to join and start writing for us, they are more than welcome to. But yeah, no, that's how it goes. It's pretty easygoing. We do not put pressure on anyone. That's not the point. On the team, we're all possessive about certain people, you know, but we're really good-natured about it. Like, I'm in love with this writer from Switzerland called Anne-Marie Schresenbar, who's this, like, so she died really young. She died back in 42, but she was this kind of, like, butch goddess who basically traveled a lot and wrote against fascism and just, you know, and she dealt with, like, a lot of problems concerning drug addiction and depression and, you know, dealing with her own lesbian tendencies and so on, and this kind of really intense love-hate relationship with her mother, and I'm like, I love her so much. And, well, that was the teaser for the article, which is coming out in May on her birthday.
Nice. We have a glimpse ahead into 365 days history. All right. So outside of potential future group articles and outside of the workload, have you faced any really distinct challenges in the work you've done so far?
I mean, I think the most, right now, the biggest challenge is really pacing the work and just making sure that no one is taking on more than they can take on. We also have, you know, our own schedules, a lot of work on the side. This is not the main thing we do. So, like, I've been traveling basically all this week, so it's been really hard for me to just, you know, find time to actually sit down and write the article, because, like, those are not articles you write in, like, 20 minutes. They take, like, an hour per article because you need the time to, like, compile the information and think about how you're going to write it in your voice, your own voice. So I think the challenge for now is to, you know, it's only the second month. The project has launched January 1st, but it's only the second month. Right now, the biggest challenge is to pace ourselves, and slowly just gain more visibility. Because, I mean, also, I mean, you know, the more visibility we have, the more motivation we have to keep going. Because obviously, if it's just like two friends reading this, it's like, great, love to be this freaking, but like, but yeah, no, I mean, it's, so I guess, yeah, like right now the biggest challenge is to really find a way to keep on track, without,
overworking.
Without being overwhelmed by everything that we have to do for this blog. I mean, it's not a side thing. It's a side thing, but it's not just a side thing either. It's something that really is very important to us. So, we want to make sure that, you know, it keeps going in some way or the other. And, aside from that, it's how do we, think about structuring the blog and what we write about in a way that appeals to readers, that in a way that readers can relate to, how do we gain more readers, and how do we keep, the interest and the attention, that readers have been so kind to bestow upon us from until now, and so on.
Yeah. those all seem very relatable challenges, extremely relatable. I can't say it gets easier, but I can say that with more and more readership and more interaction with the community, you begin to realize how important the thing you're doing is. I know specifically with you folks, yeah. with focusing on the Women Loving Women community, there was a pretty long time where women's sexual or romantic attraction wasn't recognized. It was thought that women weren't capable of feeling those kind of emotions or sensations. So recognition not only in that these women existed, but that these sensations and feelings are allowed is really, really important. And I can guarantee your readership is pretty relieved to see that they're not alone in history.
And I mean, also the one thing that we really want to stress when doing this is how much relative it all is, because I mean, we still have people debating about Sappho's sexuality. Yes, technically you can say, you know, the evidence can be interpreted in different ways. We don't have all the information we would need to say she was a lesbian or she was bisexual. But it's a really healthy reminder that those labels are very modern invention, and that the ways people have thought about sexuality and gender over the centuries and in various regions of the world and within various cultures are very, very different. And I think that is one thing that is really important to remember here. It's that it's both a way to tell, you know, our readers, you are not alone. You are not alone. You have this kind of lineage and legacy of women and women-aligned non-binary people who love other women. And we're showing you very different ways of loving women. That there is not just one way, and you don't have to fit the mold. You don't have, yeah, if you don't fit the straight mold, there's no women loving women mold to fit either. You know, it's very different. We're going to be talking about, you know, lavender marriages and Boston marriages, for example, in the US, but there's also, you know, ways to think about sexuality in Europe and in ancient Greece and in India and in Latin America. And it depends on religion and ethnicity and race and culture in general. And it's such a great, exciting world to explore and discover. And we're really hoping that, you know, we can remind our readers that the great thing about being queer is that there is no, you know, straightforward model to follow. It's really about, you know, finding the people that you want to emulate, finding the people you can relate to, and making your own, forging your own identity, really.
That's excellently put. I love that. I know personally that's really reassuring always for me to hear, and I love that that's kind of at the core of what you folks are doing. I think that's beautiful. And it's really easy to tell that you're super passionate about this. I love that.
I mean, it's I think we're joking about this with Lexi at some point, where it's like, if only there had been more lesbians in history in high school, and maybe I would have paid attention, honestly.
Yes.
So now it's like, and I hated history in high school. I just hated it so much. And now that I can actually find something that I'm passionate about, I'm like, this is a really good way to engage all the themes that are really important to me and make them relevant also to what's happening around us right now. So.
Yeah, because you do historical women loving women, but you also do modern women loving women.
Yeah, it's we wanted to show that it's, you know, the concept of history, when we think about historical things, it's, you know, things in the past, mm-hmm. That had no relationship to the present, which is wrong. The past is always relevant to the present, and even, yes, and we talk about people who are still alive today, people who are very young, sometimes people who are basically our age or a little older or even a little younger, to show how everything from the past feeds into the present. And, you know, I was using the word of lineage. It is a lineage. It's not just, you know, people who are in the past who are completely disconnected from us, people who are also in our modern times who are also showing us that there are, again, very different ways, very diverse ways to be queer in this world, to be queer and female in this world.
Yeah. It's excellent. I love that lineage. It's really important because lineage is not something that stops. Lineage is something that continues on.
Yeah. Even when it's being ruptured intentionally by, you know, dominant discourses, even when it's being silenced, even when, and it has been punctured over the years, you know, we were talking, you know, just before we were talking about how some of this history has been largely silenced or marginalized, and there have been active attempts to basically hide women's sexuality and all the different forms that women's sexuality can take. So I think that's also really important. It's this lineage, it's a fractured one. It has a lot of gaps and fractures, and sometimes it's not as straightforward as we would like it to be. It's not, you know, clear cut, oh, she was a lesbian, or she was bi, or they were a lesbian, or whatever. It's very, it's a lot murkier than that, but at the same time, it's still there. And, you know, it's a matter, it's almost like archaeology, where you just, you know, you find that little thing, and then you're just going to have to clear the dust off very patiently. And it's going to take a lot of time, and a lot of patience, and a lot of work, very, very, you know, very fine work and very nuanced work. But you know that there is something there that connects you to people who came before you and to people all around you. So,
yeah, exactly. Okay, getting into some of my last questions. How has your interaction with the queer community changed ever since you started this project?
I wouldn't say that mine specifically has changed. It certainly made me more aware of the presence or absence of various archival systems, of various ways to conserve history within the queer community. It's also made me aware of, I mean, I was aware of it before. I had been exposed to truth rhetoric before, and right, I mean, citing that as an example, and it's always something I was deeply uncomfortable with. And starting the blog, we were talking a bit about this with Lexi and Lex and Liz, and it's something we agreed on from the very beginning, is that truth rhetoric would have no place on this blog. We were not there to kind of be, you know, the lesbian police of who gets to be a lesbian or not. So I think that, like, I guess one of the major changes I went through while starting this blog is taking a much more active stance against any kind of policing within the community, you know, and because there's been a series of articles lately since the beginning of the year about how, you know, I think there was one on BuzzFeed very recently about how, you know, lesbian identities threatened by the gender revolution. Last year, Slate ran a whole series of articles about lesbian cultures and identities and how they're being negotiated in very different ways. And there were a lot of different writers who had different things to say. I stumbled upon, I think it was in January, this article in this supposedly feminist magazine, online magazine, that was all about basically just, it was anti-queer, anti-trans. I mean, it's the kind of thing that just makes me angry as hell. And before, it used to just make me angry. Like, I would read those things and be like, oh, come on, like, fuck those people. Seriously. But now, I'm like, since starting this blog, I'm like, this is, I guess, my way of contributing to the discussion and of making sure that people know that, I mean, the lesbian identity is not going to go anywhere. It's not about to disappear. It's not under assault. It's not threatened by anything else than the patriarchy and heteronormative bullshit. I mean, that's that's what it's threatened by. It's not threatened by queerness. I mean, mm-hmm. I should know, I identify as both as queer and lesbian. It's like those two identities for me are, they just feed into each other, they support each other, they strengthen each other. I see no contradiction between the two. I can be both at the same time. So I think that's what really, that's the main change for me, you know? And I mean, also, I guess that's a little thing I should say about the title. When we decided to pick lesbian to be in the title, you know, 365 Days of Lesbians, I mean, obviously, it's because saying 365 days of women loving women or queer women, it's not as catchy. And also, I mean, let's be honest, lesbian is great puns. It is such a great word for puns. I mean, it is the best.
I cannot believe you just... I have to cut that out of the interview now. That's just not gonna... I'm joking. I'll probably keep it in there. Don't... Just,
I mean, puns. Come on. So many puns possible. Anyway. But, like... No, for us, I mean... Lesbian, there is also something that... To it, to this word, that... It's such a fraught word. It's a word that's fraught with, you know... Problematic rhetoric. And, I mean, yes, there has been, you know, the whole... radical feminism and lesbian separatism with its very overt turf rhetoric. But there's also, I think, a power to reclaiming the word. Like, you know how, like, even women are going to be, can say, I'm gay. Like, I'm a woman and I'm gay. And that's a word that functions for everyone. Like, everyone uses that word. Not just gay men. So lesbian, I think that it should be such a word. It should be a word that even... bisexual women feel comfortable using to describe their relationships, that anyone feels comfortable using, because we cannot let a small number of people monopolize that word and bring it in a position to other labels. I mean, why is the queer label such a great label? It's because it's inclusive and it has reclaimed a word that was meant to be an insult before. So there is that reclaiming aspect to it, and there's also the fact that it includes everyone. If you're not in the mold, if you're not in, you know, if you're straying from the norm, you're queer. And it's such a great word because it includes everybody. And for us, you know, lesbian should be the same. It cannot, if it starts including people, that's when it's going to be threatened with complete just... disappearance. So that's what we think about the title. And I just really wanted to put that out there to make sure that, like, you know, people don't see the title and they're like, I got lesbian, you know, that's exclusive. That's, you know, if you're a woman who I mean, for me, it means the exact same thing as women loving women. It means the same thing as sapphic. And, you know, it can be used in the very specific way of, you know, saying, women who only love over women, just like gay can be used to say, you know, men who only love over men. But it's also, you know, just use it however you want to use it. That's the idea behind it. Yeah. And also, obviously, because, I mean, we are also, you know, some of us through our sexual and gender identities, we're close to those other labels. Obviously, if you identify as ace or aromantic and a lesbian, that is not a contradiction either. You could still be a lesbian and asexual or aromantic or whatever you want to define yourself as. I mean, it's you know, the aphobia in the LGBT community is present, and, you know, for us, it's not contradictory with the label lesbian. So, I mean, for us, it's really important because I think a lot of us on the team, we have dealt or we are dealing with precisely, you know, negotiating which communities we are part of and which communities we're not. And we want to make sure that this is a place where there's positivity for everyone who needs it, where, I mean, if you're just even questioning, you don't even have to be sure of anything. You just be questioning and wondering, and the blog's got to be a space for that too, because I'm thinking, you know, of all the young women or the kids who are still not even sure about their gender identity, And they're teenagers, and they're just, you know, starting exploring all this. And I just wish that, you know, when I was their age, there had been something like that for me. And instead of having an environment that just sent me into complete repression of everything. So I think that's really important to make sure that, you know, you have a community, whether it's online or, you know, offline, that is as inclusive and as loving and as, yeah, as inclusive and as loving as possible. And that really accept, you know, everyone, and that values diversity, but values diversity and difference while, you know, saying, you know, it doesn't matter to us. You can still share this label or these labels, and you're still welcome here. And we will make sure you have, you know, a place to just breathe or speak or whatever it is you want.
It seems like you are doing a lot for this community. Is there anything or any way that the community can help you? Is there a place where we could donate or a way we could get in touch with you and send you support?
We've been talking recently about donations and whether, I mean, obviously right now we're all doing, it's free labor, really. Labor of love, but it's not, we're not getting paid for any of this. We're still not sure of how that's going to work out. We think that if we're going to be taking donations, it's probably going to be in a way in the future to like a way to organize an event or something, you know, for the community, or like, I don't know, like set up a giveaway or, you know, set up goodies to send to people or something like that. So we're still figuring this out. I mean, I guess right now the best way the community and our readers can show support is either by, it's not an even or situation, they can do both at the same time. By, you know, liking, reblogging our stuff, you know, making sure it's read, making sure it's out in the world, making sure people actually have access to it. You know, you can go on and like our Facebook page. You can, you know, talk. There's the, you know, on Twitter, if you want to talk about this, you can use the hashtag 365 Days of Lesbians. I mean, there's, you know, just make sure that people, that you talk about it on social media, because if you don't talk about it, then we kind of don't exist. That's the first rule of social media. And then, I mean, honestly, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you want to get involved, then please do, you know, send us an email tell us, you know, why you think that you should be part of the team. And even if it's just to write one article during the year, or, you know, a dozen or 30 articles or whatever, or as many articles as you want to, or if it's to, like, I don't know, if you want, like, help with the design of the blog or do something, or if you have like an idea of how to bring the blog in another direction. I mean, I know that, for example, Lex was definitely thinking about how we should make the spaces that the blog inhabits more accessible to like teens and young adults. Lex was also thinking about perhaps creating playlists inspired by, for example, like a lesbian of the week, where we'd have, you know, a bunch of like music and movie quotes and TV show clips and something related to this person or to this event. So I mean, you know, there's like lots of ideas going around, and if you have, you know, if you have an idea, don't be shy. I mean, this is really, we're not gonna be like, oh no, come on, this is like, not, this is too ridiculous, you know, we are doing a very serious thing here. No, it's honestly, if you want to join us, you know, the more the merrier. And we're just, I mean, honestly, if you identify as a woman in some capacity, and if you identify as a woman in some capacity who loves older women, then, you know, you're right for the blog. That's the only real criteria we have. And, you know, it doesn't really matter, like, your, if you want to bring, if you're, especially in terms of like diversity, we're always looking for people who have very diverse experiences in terms of disability, race, gender identity. I mean, we do cover, right now among the four of us, quite a diverse spectrum of, disability, race, ethnicity, gender identity, all those things. but we're always looking for other people to add to that dialogue and bring other perspectives to the blog and to the community we're fostering. So
I love how open you guys are. I think that's magnificent. But is there anything else you would like to share with potential listeners about your blog or about what you do?
I'm not sure. I think we've covered it all. I mean, it's pretty straightforward what we do. And it's a pleasure doing it. And thanks for everyone who reads us, you know, who's reading us and who's reblogging us and, you know, making sure that our articles are being read. We're really, really grateful for that, because we think it's just really great to know that the work we're doing actually serves a purpose and that people find it relevant and find that it matters. So thank you, readers. You guys rock. And thank you. Thank you for, like, organizing this and setting this up. And, I mean, like, making queer history was, like, one of the first blogs that we followed on Tumblr, because we're, like, you know, when setting up the whole Tumblr thing, and we're, like, you know, we want, like, make sure that we follow really cool blogs, and then we're, like, making queer history, and, like, this is exactly what we want to do, but, like, a bit different, but still, you know, such a great blog, and
yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm really, really glad that we could partner up with the blog for this month, so it's an honor.
No, it's so kind of you. Thank you. And I'm delighted that we got to do this. Your project is pretty phenomenal. And you just, like, your work ethic and the fact that you're releasing a new thing every day, I can't say how much I admire that. That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. We're still not sure how we're doing that ourselves, how we're managing to just keep the energy rolling. But we're still doing it. So hopefully the momentum will, you know, remain with us a little longer.
Well, all the kudos to you. I mean, that's incredible.
AK would also like you folks to know that if 365 Days of Lesbians has had a positive impact on how you view yourself as part of the queer community, feel free to get in touch with any of the 365 Days staff. They would love to hear from you and are really working to try and make the community a more open and welcoming place. Otherwise, there you have it. Remember to check out 365 Days of Lesbians on their Tumblr blog. A link is included in the Tumblr description of this episode. Thank you for listening, everyone. Take care, reach out to your community, and remember, history is queerer than you think.